Today's scripture lesson comes from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 12, verses 49 to 56. Starting at verse 49, "I came to bring fire on the earth, and how I wish it were already set ablaze. But I have a baptism to be baptized with, and how it consumes me until it is finished. Do you think that I came here to give peace to the earth? No, I tell you, but rather division. From now on, five in one household will be divided, three against two, and two against three. They will be divided, father against son, son against father, mother against daughter, daughter against mother, mother-in-law against her daughter-in-law, and daughter-in-law against mother-in-law. He also said to the crowds, 'When you see a cloud rising in the west, right away you say, a storm is coming. And so it does. And when the south wind is blowing, you say, it's going to be a scorcher. And it is. Hypocrites, you know how to interpret the appearance of the earth and the sky, but why don't you know how to interpret this time?' May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word." Hello, I am Dr. Rob White with the AULC Ministries with our message this week. I am happy that you can take a few minutes out of your busy week to be with us today. Sometimes we want to know what's going to happen in the future. Weather people tell us if it's going to be stormy or sunny so we can plan a picnic or stay inside and read. During the day, you may think about what you will have for dinner. And you may wonder if there will be dessert after dinner. Do you ever count the days until a vacation or other special day? Jesus says we should think about the future, especially our future with God, but he also advises us to think about the present time. He advises us to be aware of what is going on around us right now. Notice things, the way sun shines through the rain, causing a rainbow, the way a flower grows, the way moonlight shines through your window. Notice the pattern of stars, how a stone feels in your hand, how fresh bread smells while it is baking, and how good it feels to be hugged by a loved one. Noticing and being grateful for God's gifts is a way of living our lives to the fullest. It is how we live in the present time. Now, this very day, we can be aware and thankful for the beauty and love that is around us, living the life God has planned for each one of us. Dr. David Leininger had an interesting title for a sermon. It asked, "Should the church stick its nose into things the church shouldn't stick its nose into?" That's the longest sermon title that I can remember seeing, 15 words. Should the church stick its nose into things the church shouldn't stick its nose into? How could you ever get all of that on the announcement board outside the church? The board that tells the world the church service hours and the title of the sermon? The thing that prompted that sermon was a nasty gram that Dr. Leininger received regarding some comments that he made from the pulpit in an election year. That caused him to ask the question, should the church stick its nose into things the church shouldn't stick its nose into? He asked whether it's appropriate for the church to take controversial stands on issues about which Christians might disagree. Should the church keep its mouth shut instead of taking the risk of offending people? That isn't a new question. It's been around for as long as the church has been the church. It raised its head quite early. The first Christians were Jewish, and they required prospective members to embrace the Jewish faith before embracing the Christian faith. They felt quite strongly about that. The Jews were God's chosen people, and you couldn't be a Christian without first being a Jew. But then God gave Peter a different vision of the church. A church open to all who would embrace Christ. Peter shared that vision with other Christians, some of whom accepted his testimony and others of whom didn't. It was a hot issue. There were well-meaning Christians on both sides, some who said that you must become a Jew before becoming a Christian, and others saying no. Each side convinced that it was right and the other side was wrong. We saw the same thing during the Reformation. Some Christians thought that it would be a great sin to divide the church, and other Christians thought that they had no choice but to do so. That resulted in a rift that has persisted for more than 600 years. In recent years, Protestants and Catholics have shown each other increasing charity, but the rift between Protestants and Catholics is still an open wound in the body of Christ. We saw the same thing during the years when slavery flourished. Many people, including many Christians, embraced slavery as essential. They couldn't imagine life without slave labor. They couldn't see how they could survive without slave labor. They devised all sorts of justifications for slavery. some derived from the Bible, some that deny the humanity of dark-skinned people. Some of them said that slavery was a necessary evil, but others said that there was nothing evil about it. But William Wilberforce believed that slavery was a great evil and stood up in the British Parliament to say so. From the time he became a Christian, Wilberforce became an unrelenting foe of slavery. He felt God called to oppose slavery. His opponents were many and powerful, and his efforts divided father against son and son against father, as Jesus put it in our gospel lesson today, Luke 12:53. But Wilberforce ultimately prevailed. Just 3 days before his death, Parliament passed a law abolishing slavery for British citizens. After his death, the House of Commons paid Wilberforce tribute, noting that his life came to an end just as he completed his great work. The victory of Wilberforce against slavery in Great Britain encouraged opponents of slavery in the United States, people who agreed that slavery was evil, an unnecessary evil. The United States had to go through its most terrible war, the Civil War, before it was able to put aside that unnecessary evil. It was a walk through fire, the fire of purification and the fire of judgment. That struggle was refought decades later in the civil rights movement of the 1960s. Once again in South Africa through the 60s and 70s and 80s. Each time we had to walk through fire, the fire of purification and the fire of judgment. Some people today believe that slavery should have been allowed to persist and that the church should stick to preaching the gospel and stay away from controversy. But Jesus, the Prince of Peace, knew that we could have true peace only when we were willing to hold evil at bay. And so he said, "Do you think that I have come to give peace in the earth? I tell you no, but rather division. For from now on there will be five in one house divided, three against two, and two against three. They will be divided, father against son, and son against father, mother against daughter, and daughter against her mother. Mother-in-law against her daughter-in-law, and daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law." The Prince of Peace came to bring us peace, but we often have to walk through fire, the fire of purification and the fire of judgment. Before we can find that peace, the reason is simple. It is the presence of evil in our midst. As long as evil exists, the church will need to oppose the evil and to support the good. That will always be difficult, because there will always be Christians on both sides of every issue, each side thinking that it is right and the other side is wrong. There were Christians on both sides of the slavery issue. There were Christians on both sides of the civil rights issue. Today, there are Christians on both sides of the abortion issue and the homosexual issue and many other issues. That makes it imperative that we carry out our advocacy with love. Jesus said that there are two great commandments. One is that we love God, and the other is that we love our neighbor. Matthew 22:37-39. Jesus said, the whole law and the prophets depend on these two commandments. Matthew 22:40. That means that two commandments, loving God and loving neighbors, summarize all the commandments of the Bible. We cannot succeed in fighting evil with evil. Jesus fought evil with love and teaches us to do the same. If we can learn to love the sinner while hating the sin, we will be pretty far down the road to successful advocacy. Martin Luther King rediscovered that principle. He said, "Whom you would change, you must first love." It isn't easy to love a person who disagrees with you, and it's particularly difficult when that person advocates something that you believe to be evil. I don't believe that it's humanly possible to love evil people. That requires God's help. But there are three truths that we must remember. The first truth is that we are all sinners, that we are all evil. Romans 3:23. If we can remember that, perhaps it will give us the humility to love other sinners. The second truth is that Christ calls us to love our neighbor, not our sinless neighbor. And the third truth is that God is on the side of good, and that means that we can live in the confidence that good will prevail. Martin Luther, the great reformer, put it this way. He said, "Did we in our own strength confide, our striving would be losing. We're not the right man on our side, the man of God's own choosing. Dost ask who that may be? Christ Jesus, it is He, Lord Sabaoth, His name, from age to age the same, and He must win the battle." Martin Luther King, who faced terrible opposition, put it this way. He said, "When days grow dark and nights grow dreary, we can be thankful that our God combines in His nature a creative synthesis of love and justice which will lead us through life's dark valleys and into sunlit pathways of hope and fulfillment. So to do our work as Christians in a difficult world, we must love and we must hope. I started this sermon by quoting the title of Dr. Leininger's sermon, "Should the Church Stick Its Nose Into Things the Church Shouldn't Stick Its Nose Into?" Dr. Leininger answered that question by saying, "There are no such things. You see, the Church says that Jesus Christ is Lord, and if He is not Lord of all, He is not Lord at all. Nothing in human life, not even politics and government, is outside the Lordship of Christ." To which I can only say, amen. That's our Lord's message for this Lord's Day, and I hope you got a blessing out of it. Go out this week and be a blessing and be blessed, for the more you are a blessing, the more you will be blessed. Thank you all for watching and listening, and we will see you all next week.